What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 181, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and, of course, helps the podcast on along. With me here is my co-host, Derek. What's up, Derek?
Oh, not much, Bob. Just hanging out. Doing a podcast.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day and we're inside doing a podcast.
It actually is pretty nice out.
Yeah, it's really, really nice. But it's exciting, exciting week. It's the E3. E3 is going on.
Kind of a boring E3, though.
So there's some major hardware announcements,
I guess, from E3. You're not trying to call a console announcement major hardware, are you?
I'm talking about AMD.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Stuff. Yeah. But no, I don't care about the console. I'm talking about AMD graphics cards. I'm talking about new AMD CPU, which we'll get into. I watched the Apex Legends thing since I play that a lot. New Legend coming, plus some updates and things like that. So I'm pretty pumped. Season 2 Apex is coming. So Cyberpunk 2077 trailer and release date and all.
I think that's the best thing to come out of it to me. That game's a long time coming.
Yeah, it's a very long time coming. Fallout 76 is getting a battle royale mode.
Who cares?
Which I saw. Yeah. But I haven't really followed that much. So those are like the highlights that I've seen as far as like the big stuff. Obviously we will get into the AMD stuff, but is there any other gaming stuff that you saw that you wanted to talk about?
Not really. Just Cyberpunk 2077 and I mean, that's about it. New Halo game coming.
The funny thing, well, I think it was Xbox, was like 120 FPS. Like you've never seen it before. It's just like when Apple announces something new for a phone that's been on like an Android phone forever. As PC gamers, we've seen 120. And it's so funny too, is because like every console person, when you talk about like frame rate, they're like, the eyes can't see past 60 frames per second, blah, blah, blah. That would be like their
They've said that for years.
Yeah, they would defend that. And then they're like, oh, we have 120 now. Now we're like,
just, now it's the best thing ever.
Yeah, it's just hilarious. So yeah. Definitely some funny memes have come out of E3 so far as far as that stuff goes. Yeah. But yeah, let's jump into reviews this week. So I'll start it off. I actually have them out of order in the show notes, which is odd. But we'll talk about the motherboard first. I took a look at ASRock's Z390 Steel Legend. So they started the Steel Legend on the AMD side, and they're bringing it over to the Intel side with a Z390 board. This is the same color design, which I love. It's black with like this digital winter camo, silver accents on the board. It's a beautiful looking board. And the whole thing with Steel Legend is to provide just like a good overall board. They have their extreme boards, they have their Phantom Gaming boards, and they have their Tai Chi board. So this is kind of like, I guess, like the value board when it comes to ASRock now. And I really like what they did is, usually when it gets into value boards, we see design just suck. Like the boards don't look attractive at all.
Yeah.
And I really like that ASRock has made this board look pretty good. You have two M.2s on this, and both of them have integrated heat sinks. The bottom heat sink is actually part of the PCH heat sink, which kind of brings the whole board together, you know. And overall, it's a good board. It's going to have everything that you want on Z390. The only issue I had with this, which I also had on another ASRock board, one of their Phantom Gaming boards, is that if you have a 9900K and you're overclocking, you'll throttle because of the VRMs are getting too hot. Even though this has their supposed XXL aluminum heatsink, it's just not enough. You know, and I was actually surprised because my temperatures were decently high, like in the 90s. And when you're overclocking at 9900K, that's expected. But they weren't to the thermal limit, which I believe is 115. So I was like, why is my processor throttling? And the software that we used didn't detect any thermal throttling, but if you use Intel's extreme tuning utility, it actually tells you when the VRMs are throttling, and that's what was happening. So that's kind of disappointing. You know, if you are going to be doing any overclocking, it's kind of, this is not the board for you, which is kind of a bummer.
It's kind of obvious though, right? Well, you mean like none?
I mean, if you're...
Because 99 and 100K is kind of an exception for temperature. And
the thing is that we don't have any other, was it 9th gen? Yeah, 9th gen processors to test. So the thing is, too, is like that's when we're putting a full load on it, too. And that's not something, unless you're doing encoding or something like that, where you're going to have a full load for a considerable amount of time. I mean, this only happened like 4 or 5 minutes into the test. So I don't know, unless, like I said, you're doing encoding, even gaming, you're not throwing 100% load on your CPU for an extended periods of time.
Yeah. Which test was it that it throttled in?
The A to 64 system stability test.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a pretty heavy load.
Yeah, it's a decent load. You know, so you can overclock and you can run your system overclocked, but if you're going to do any in-depth encoding or anything like that, or putting a huge load on your CPU, it will throttle. So that's something to think about with this board. But overall, I think, like I said, it's a good board. It has everything that you want. It has some really great RGB lighting on it, and I know it's not overdone. You just have like an RGB strip along the edge, and you have RGB on the PCH heatsink. It looks really good. They've also done this new thing, and they've started this with some of their other boards. We saw it on some of the newer Phantom gaming boards, is that the far edge is kind of designed differently. It kind of indents in where the SATA ports are, and this makes it really easy to connect these if you have a... if you have a case that has like the cable routing holes like right there, sometimes it's with a board that doesn't have this indent, it's harder to connect those cables sometimes, depending on the case and everything like that. But this just makes it much easier. So they've done that on this board as well. You get 3 RGB headers. You get 2 normal 4-pin, 1 3-pin addressable. It's a good board. I believe the price is it's definitely under it's $145.99. So obviously you're not going to get the X470 pricing, or you know, even the B450 pricing. But $145.99 is pretty low for a Z390, so it's on this, you know, lower end. So definitely affordable. And obviously, depending on your use case, it could be a great board for you. And I did all of these new Steel Legend boards have ASRock's full spike ESD protection, so that protects your USB Ethernet and audio ports as well. So good stuff. Yeah. Like I said, I like the board. I was just kind of disappointed in the overclocking. It's like, you know, this has come out after all the first gen Z390 boards. So you would think that they've kind of figured that out, that, you know, the 9900K is going to take a lot of power and you need to cool that down. And we've seen a lot of companies come out with, like, you know, revision 2 with better VRM cooling. So this is just kind of disappointing on that aspect. But yeah.
Yeah, the heatsink doesn't really do much with the VRMs there.
Yeah, it's not very... It's
barely in contact with them, so...
Yeah. So yeah, definitely check out the review if you're looking for a Z390 board. And then we'll go to a air cooler. This is the Sith Muggin 5 Tough Gaming Alliance. And if you're not familiar with the Tough Gaming Alliance, I'm sure you've probably heard of it or seen products that are Tough Gaming Alliance. And the whole idea is that this is kind of done by ASUS, and they've, you know... There's so many different products from so many different companies, and you want a cohesive build. You want something that looks good all together. And a lot of times you achieve that by modding or by painting something or whatever. But the whole idea is with the Tough Gaming Alliance, all of the products are going to look the same. They're visually going to have the same design cues, the same colors. I guess right now the color for Tough Gaming Alliance is black and gold. But you know, ASUS makes Tough Gaming Alliance motherboards, and then you have like a company like Corsair, or there's a bunch of them that make, you know, Tough Gaming Alliance memory. So Sith has a Tough Gaming Alliance CPU cooler, and this is different from their Muggin 5 that came out, I believe, in 2017. The difference here is that it does have an RGB fan and RGB top. So basically, it's the same kind of design of the cooler, but you're getting an RGB fan, and then they have this top piece that's RGB as well. So this is going to, of course, add some bling to your system if you're into the whole RGB thing. Both of those take a standard 4-pin RGB connection, and you can daisy chain them, so you don't need 2 headers on your board. You can just use 1. The only thing that's kind of an issue with this is that at least according to their box and everything, this only works with Asus Aura Sync, and there's no other controller included. So if you do have a board that doesn't have an RGB header, you're kind of out of luck, because if you don't connect these to anything, they're not going to work. And we weren't able to test, because obviously our test system is an Asus board, so we were able to use Aura Sync. So if they don't even light up on a normal RGB header, that's kind of disappointing too. We weren't able to test that. But as far as cooling performance, it's kind of middle of the road. We tested 11 coolers, and it kind of sits right in the middle there in both idle and load tests. It is very quiet. So Sith just came out with their K's Flex RGB fan, which they're using on here. Very, very quiet. If you had this in a case, you could barely hear it. We had it on our test bench, but you're barely going to hear this. The cooler's not all that large either, so you can easily install this in a case with a graphics card. The installation's extremely easy too. It took me about 5 minutes to get this thing installed. It's really that easy. And like I said, it's compatible with both Intel and AMD. We tested on AMD, but yeah, it's just a good overall cooler. The pricing is about $15 more than their Mugen 5, so it's, you're basically paying $15 for some RGB accents and like a newer fan. It's not bad. It's $59.99, $60.
Now that's it is good performance, well, middle of the road ish, but that is getting up there in price though, as far as like $60 can, if you're not going for bling, that'll get you quite a high performing cooler for air cooling.
Yeah. Especially if you're not going for like this generation. We've seen a lot of companies, especially like Noctua, if you're going for like last generation products that don't have RGB, they're not very expensive. So that's definitely something to consider, but if everybody's going RGB.
Yeah, I mean, if you gotta have the lights, you gotta have the lights. So you're gonna pay for it.
So I like the cooler. I like that, again, I like the whole idea of Tough Gaming Alliance. It allows you to have everything in your system look the same. I mean, there's even Tough Gaming Alliance cases now and all that kind of stuff. So definitely, like I said, check that one out. It is a good cooler and it looks pretty cool as well. And we'll jump to Case Mod Friday. And we have another build from our friends over at GGF. And this time they've done a Razer build completely. Like, I just call this Razered out because it's completely Razered out. It's done inside the newer Lian Li PC 011 Dynamic Razer Edition. And then just some, just some water cooling. Of course, the black and neon green Razer colors. I like that he put the Razer logo on the graphics card, which is kind of cool. Even though Razer doesn't make graphics cards, obviously. but yeah, it's just clean build. I think the PC 011 Dynamic is like, it's the case for a clean build, especially like this.
It's so easy because it just, there's so much space to hide all your wiring, and it displays everything else just really well right out in the open.
Yeah, and this, again, this is not an ultra complicated build either. Only the CPU is water cooled. And then you have a bunch of those, hexagon,
reservoirs. It's kind of cool, the arrangement they have with those. And then I think, is that a flow meter in between them? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
I can't see it.
Yeah, it is. It's a light up flow meter. Yeah. I think it's the Aqua Computer one perhaps. Yeah, there's not actually a close photo of it, but, the video shows that it's lit up. So
yeah, it's really cool. And he put like a little LCD screen in there showing stats and all that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, is that on the left hand side? That's what I was wondering what that was.
Yeah,
I hadn't gotten to.
Yeah, so a little LCD screen in there. But I really like the style that they have. Of course, everybody knows the GGF style, and it's just very clean and all that kind of stuff.
I have a feeling this is probably more impressive in person because it's probably a lot more about the paint and the general style than the overwhelming amount of water cooling and component use. So
I think it's just the clean style of this one. That's kind of what I like. And obviously it fits the Razer theme perfectly. I mean, the colors are perfect and all that kind of stuff. So I would say if you're a Razer fan, you're gonna want to check this out, but definitely check it out. We have we have all the photos and we have the time lapse. Is it a time lapse build? I didn't actually watch the video but I'm pretty sure it's the time lapse build and everything. So you can check that out as well. And then for our video this week, we did a BIOS overview. You guys are actually really big fans of these when I do walkthroughs of the BIOS, just because I guess a lot of people have trouble finding stuff in the BIOS. A lot of people don't know what certain settings do. They really don't. So you know, we just reviewed the Z390 Steel Legends, so we did a BIOS overview. I always tell people too, like, if you have questions about these, definitely leave a comment. We've had a lot of people leave comments. Some of our most popular videos are actually these BIOS overviews, because people are looking for different settings. How do I enable XMP? You know, how do I turn on, like, boot by network? Like, some of the more complicated things that you want to know, we'll definitely have in these videos. So if you want to check that out, we'll have it, of course, linked in the show notes. But let's get to the big news. The thing that we all been waiting for, and I have to say that I did call it, you know, at Computex. We didn't get a Radeon announcement. We got, here's a card, here's the card that we're working on, but we'll show you more soon.
Yeah.
And I said they'd show it at E3, or it would be announced at E3, and it was.
We kind of said that all along.
Yeah, definitely. But we have official specs and everything for the Radeon RX 5700 XT and the Radeon RX 5700, so a non-XT version. These, of course, are built on 7-nanometer Navi GPU. And we'll go through the specs really quickly. So the XT, of course, is the more expensive card. It has 40 compute units, which works out to 2,560 stream processors, 256 TMUs, and 64 ROPs. The card's going to have a base clock of 1,605 megahertz, and they're doing this thing, it's called a game clock now, which I guess is like the average of, like, the average that it will run when you're gaming, which is 1,755 megahertz, yeah, rather right. 1,755 megahertz. And then the maximum boost clock. So this is the max that it will boost, is 1,905 megahertz. Of course, GDDR6, the new 14 gigabit GDDR6 memory. And that's running across a 256-bit wide interface. The XT is powered by 2 8-pin PCI Express power connectors. And of course, it has a total board power of 225 watts. It will be $449. Just keep those prices in mind. We'll go to the 5700. So you only have 36 compute units, a base clock of 1,465 megahertz, game clock of 1,625 megahertz, and a boost clock up to 1,725 megahertz. Same 8 gigabytes of GDDR6. And when it comes to performance, again, these are AMD numbers, wait for reviews, but they tested the card at 1440p, and for the most part, in ultra settings and everything, it beat the RTX 2070 by an average of 10% in most of the tests. So the RTX 2070, I believe, is 500 right now.
Yeah.
So you're basically getting better performance for $50. At 1440p. And then
the in their specific testing. Yeah.
They also showed it compared to the RX Vega 56, and it beat it by a considerable amount.
Yeah.
And then the 5700, they compared it against the RTX 2060. It beat it in all those tests, again, an average of around, you know, 10% again. Now, this one is only $20. It is, where's the price aid? I lost it. I believe it's $379, and the 2060 is $349. Yeah, so you're going to get, so that's, for me, that's too similar, because right now, this is like Gen 1 Ryzen, right? It has to be very competitive. And NVIDIA at least has a proven track record, right? With drivers and things like that. Right, yeah. Now, AMD just doesn't, you know. So for it being more expensive, 10% better performance so far, I mean, that's kind of like the average number that we're seeing. And we'll see, you know, down the line if that holds up in other tests. But it has to be cheaper, in my opinion.
Oh, 100%. AMD GPU is not reliable.
And there's heat issues, and
that's what I mean by unreliable. Like, everything they say about it, everything that they brag up in their slides, it always proves to be like a fraction of the truth, and they're marred in some way. They never live up to whatever expectation is set. Everybody gets all excited for them, and then they never live up to it. Period. They just have not. And then so I would say, all of this is just like, we'll see it when it happens.
I like the 5700 XT price. $50 cheaper for supposedly better performance is good for me. I don't like one. Whoever is the designer at AMD should be fired. These cards are ugly, especially compared to even 10 series GTX Founders Edition cards. They're not great. They're also still using that blower style fan with the
vapor chamber.
Yeah, the vapor chamber thing.
It's not a bad design. It's not a bad thermal design.
I don't know. It just doesn't do it for me, this design of this thing. It's just, I don't know. It's like the GTX card, especially when they started the whole Founders Edition thing, like it was a good looking card and it gave me a reason to buy it.
It gives you a little more incentive to buy it, I think.
Yeah. So the design wise, I'm not a fan. Like I said, I do like the 5700 XT because it is cheaper. So it gives me $50 to put towards better memory or whatever. The 5700, it has to be priced under the 2060 and it's not. So that's a little disappointing. But they'll also be coming out with the 5700 XT 50th anniversary edition. This is going to be clocked higher. It has the same design as the 5700 XT, except for the red accents are gold. That's kind of what they're doing for this. And again, it has higher clocks. It will be $499. So you're paying more for a little bit higher clocks.
No reason to pay for the clocks, but yeah. The color is better, I think. I mean, gold is just kind of a more fun color in general, and it'll probably go with some other things, but yeah, it's still the same kind of ugly design, or it's not really ugly, it's just basic.
Yeah, it's very basic to me.
Yeah, I think, okay, so to me too, for the pricing, for one thing, there's not a big enough price difference between the 5700 and the XT. They're really pretty close to each other for like so the performance difference. I would have expected for sure that the 5700 would have been cheaper than that, at least down to the 350 mark. And then just couple that in with the fact that there's so many performance unknowns that, and like 10%, even if it is 10% faster in general for both of them, like this is, we're quite a ways into RTX. Like we're starting to talk about the next generation of NVIDIA right now. So 10% is not like a huge jump at all. So
yeah, and again, this is like 7 nanometer. Like this is supposed to be, you know, like
groundbreaking.
It's just really not. And like you say, AMD just hypes all this stuff up and puts out this stuff, and it's like, yeah, you want to be excited, but like we were excited like the past three generations, and they really have to prove themselves. And again, I think if they took an approach like they did with Ryzen, incredibly aggressive pricing, actually bringing value, you know,
redesigned from the ground up.
Yeah, that too. I mean, but we'll see how these do. As we always say, especially with graphics cards, wait until the reviews come out, you know, because you can see all this stuff, and these are all in-house AMD, you know, tests and everything. Like, wait until the real reviews come out to really gauge if this is something you want to buy over an RTX 2070 or 2060. And that's all we currently sell you, you know, say. And we can say that at least NVIDIA has a good track record on their past few generations of products, whereas AMD does not. Mm-hmm. So that was the first announcement at their event. The second announcement, which was, again, we were hearing rumors about some 16-core processor coming out, but it's official. We have the first, they're calling it the world's first 16-core gaming CPU, which I don't know why.
why do they that? Just because they want to say world's first in the title?
But I mean, it is the first 16-core mainstream desktop processor on a mainstream platform. And that's crazy to think about. We talk about this even going, getting like 8 cores and stuff. Like 3 years ago, could you imagine we would be at this high of a core count on a mainstream processor? You wouldn't. Like you just, it just wouldn't. So this is the Ryzen 9 3950X. It has a 16 core, 32 thread, base clock of 3.5 gigahertz. It will boost all the way up to 4.7 gigahertz, 72 megabytes of total cache, and 105 watt TDP. It is going to be $749 and available in September. I mean, they're pulling out all the stops, when it comes to CPUs. I mean, they really are. And if you think about it too, this is on 7 nanometer. AMD or Intel won't have a 10 nanometer product till 2021.
It's 21 or 22. 22? I think it was 22, actually.
I don't know. But they won't have anything for a while.
This is all a much bigger deal than their GPU stuff.
Yeah. And the thing is, too, is that if you need pure CPU power, you need that, right? But you don't need a lot of the things that the high-end desktop offers, especially like PCI Express lanes. Like, you don't need all of those lanes. You don't need all of that stuff, but you want more CPU power. This is great because you don't have to get into like the high-end desktop stuff. And they've already shown that this outperforms Intel high-end desktop offerings, which is quite impressive.
Yeah. But it is into that price range. Like this is like you said,
$749 is not cheap.
This is what we thought the $550, $500, $9900K was expensive. This is pushing it quite a ways beyond that, right? Like this really is in it's actually not even entry level high end desktop pricing. Like $550 I would say is entry level high end desktop. This is well into it. So this has to be a really special part, I would say, for there to be any reason to buy it over the 3900X.
Yeah, 3900X is 12 core. And then the thing is, too, is like, this is like a part you don't need. Again,
Well, and I mean, couple of that price with the, we got stories coming later about the pricing on the motherboards, like, all of a sudden, the price metric is shifting.
Yeah, oh yeah, and we'll definitely talk about that here in a little bit, but
yeah.
I love this just for the fact that it was like, one, when Ryzen 3000 series was announced, everybody's like, they're kicking Intel's ass. And they just had this up their sleeve like, yeah, we're going to put out a 16-core too.
Isn't it a little weird that they announced it this soon? Like, it's right on the heels of the 3000 series announcement.
I think because this was like at E3, gaming centric, they want this to be like the chip that you're buying if you're a gamer. Like all the Intel side, you buy the 9900K because it's the best one.
I mean, a handful of people did.
Yeah,
I mean, who's these kids at the gaming show? What kid? Who's going out and buying a $750 processor? That's like
their parents.
Maybe, maybe, really. Yeah. My parents were definitely not being convinced of that.
Oh yeah, same here.
Like,
but I mean,
that can be a whole PC.
Oh yeah, I just think that they did it at E3 because they're calling it their gaming processor. I love it. I love that we're seeing this shift. And again, we'll talk about it a little bit later, and especially when it comes to pricing of boards. But I like that we're getting this shift now, where AMD is the performance leader. I mean, how crazy is that? Could you have thought, just like the core counts, could you have thought 3 or 4 years ago that AMD would be the performance leader in mainstream desktop parts?
No, not even close.
Yeah.
Even when Ryzen came out, it was like, well, Intel will, they'll have something to come back at them with, which they have. Like, it's not like they're like completely behind. It's just there's no momentum there.
Well, the thing is that the 10 nanometer node killed them. And they just don't have anything to combat these. And they put out these weird parts like the 3175X, where they need to be cooled by an industrial cooler. Like, they do all these stunts to like get your attention away from it. But like on the mainstream, we don't have anything. And they put two more cores into the 9900K, and it's so hot. And it's just like, and it's still on 14 nanometer. and it's like 14 nanometer plus plus plus, like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
so
how many,
I like
how many
this
pluses are you gonna do?
Yeah, I like I said, I like this. I like that we're getting this change, and it's pretty crazy actually to think about that we have a 16 core processor on the mainstream, which is wild. But moving over to GPU stuff, we've had some NVIDIA rumors, a lot of rumors this past week on NVIDIA stuff. The first one is on NVIDIA Ampere, and that is the next generation GPU architecture that is coming after the 20 series, and it is going to be 7 nanometer. And the interesting thing is that it's going to be built by Samsung, not TSMC. And NVIDIA is a massive customer of TSMC, so 7 nanometer moving to Samsung is a big deal. I think it's because TSMC is very highly loaded. They have, you know, very big customers like Qualcomm and Apple, you know, making their parts. So I think that either one, they're overloaded and they can't have the demand, like they can't have the supply for this, or that NVIDIA believes more in Samsung's technology, which is something interesting to think about as well. And we could see other companies moving over to Samsung for 7 nanometer too. But the thing that you guys obviously want to know is that these GPUs will launch in 2020. So, you know, probably I would say, you know, this time, E3 time, we could have new GPUs. I guess, what would it be, a 3000 series? I guess.
I mean, yes, but numbers are starting to get confused now.
Yeah, for sure. So we could see, I don't know what you want to call it, but we, you know, probably around this time next year.
It might be 2100 series though, too.
Yeah, it's just
because
we went to 10.
But we did go to 10 and then we jumped straight to 20.
And then we went back to 10. We went back to 16.
That we did.
Yeah, so but yeah, so that's the first little piece of rumors and stuff. Then we're getting RTX 2070 Ti rumors. So you know, the Ti cards, they usually offer a little bit better performance.
Fun cards in general.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, we get a little bump here.
Well, some.
Especially if you're on the, like, if you were thinking about buying but you haven't bought in yet, you know, the Ti card comes out and gives you a little bit better performance. New rumors online say that it's still going to have, the Ti will still have the TU104 GPU, but it's going to be faster than the current 2070, but of course slower than the 2080. It's rumored to have 2560 CUDA cores, which is of course a bump over the 2304 CUDA cores on the 2070. I think NVIDIA, especially with, like, not that AMD is like making a lot of noise, but they're obviously making noise, like, and having a 2070 Ti that's priced at the 2070 that gives you better, the same if not better performance of the Radeon RX 5700 XT would be like a win-win for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's just rumors right now. We don't know if it's true or what, but we'll obviously keep you updated. And then the last thing is this NVIDIA Super thing. Everybody's been wondering, like, what this NVIDIA Super thing. NVIDIA put out this little teaser video about Super. Nobody knew what it was. We obviously thought it has to do with graphics cards. Somebody put out on China's Weibo social media platform what they believe Super might be. So you would have a 2060, 2070, and 2080 Super cards. And these would kind of slot in. It would go like a normal 2080, then a 2080 Super, then a 2080 Ti. So you'd have three cards at different price points in different specifications. The big thing with this this rumor is that the 2060 would be bumped up to 8 gigabytes of GDDR6 instead of 6. That'd be a nice bump for that.
Kind of pushes it towards the 4K ability.
But, like, I don't understand, like, do we really need three cards in a series? Like, within 20 dollars of each other?
So it's getting pretty crowded for a series that we now know is due to be replaced.
Yeah, so it's like, this is, yeah, I don't know if this is like something they had come up with and then like they're just running with it or what.
I assumed it was just a PR stunt to bring, pull attention towards them at Computex, but guess not. Yeah. Guess they're going to make something.
Who knows? I mean, again, rumors. We don't know. Yeah. But it's interesting to see how, you know, with some, not a whole lot of competition, but with some competition, we, you know, they might be having to push out some other things. And again, NVIDIA as like a company, like the stock hasn't been great because like RTX hasn't really.
Yeah. So. Like,
yeah. Yeah. So yeah. We were talking about it earlier about the pricing of X570 motherboards, and there's a couple things happening. One, X570 boards are going to be more expensive just for the fact you're getting PCI Express 3.0 X4. You're also getting, or did I say 3.0?
Yeah.
You're getting PCI Express 4.0.
Yeah.
That's, of course, the big thing on the boards. So that's twice the speed. Secondly, the X570 chipset was built in-house by AMD. It wasn't built by ASRock. So the actual price, and it's a bigger chip. It uses 3 times more power. So it's going to cost more. Also, that because it's a bigger chip and uses more power, more than likely on almost every motherboard, you're going to see a fan on it. So again, that's just an added cost. But first of all, MSI's CEO has said that these boards are going to be more expensive. He was interviewed at Computex, and he said a couple interesting things. One, that, of course, the new technology is on the board and everything like that. But secondly, is that AMD's internal strategy has changed. I think we're really seeing that with, of course, that 16-core processor, which is like completely unneeded. But also that, you know, Ryzen Gen 1 and Ryzen, you know, Gen 2, they were like the value alternative, right? The processors were priced at a value, and Ryzen 3000 series will still be at value, but the boards were under the cost. Like an X470 was cheaper than a Z390 in almost all cases.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave you more for the value.
Well, they tried. I think early days they were priced kind of where they should have been because the design and the features were still lacking.
I agree. I think with X470, we were on par with Intel boards.
Not in the design. I don't think the design really has really hit the same stride until this 570 series. That's my opinion.
I would mostly agree with you.
It was close, but like there was just something kind of still like second tier designer about a lot of the X470 boards, and now I feel like these X570s are gorgeous.
Yeah. So, you know, internally AMD is like, we're going to be the market leader, we're going to be the performance leader, we're going to garner that higher price point. And the MSI CEO said that these boards will be quite expensive, even lower end boards. And then just today, a leaked price list for Asus X570 boards has come out.
Yeah.
And these things are not cheap. So the lowest price board will be the X570P. It's going to be $159.99.
It's so expensive.
That's like the most bare bones board that Asus would sell.
For nothing.
The kind of like the standard board which has been the standard from Asus on both sides, well, like on the Intel and AMD side, it is the Prime X570 Pro, or the Prime Pro board is like the standard across the board on Intel and AMD side. So last year they sold the Prime X470 Pro for $150.
Yeah.
It's going to be double that.
See, $150 is like where like a decent board should be.
Yeah, I agree.
Like not a great board, not a special board, but a decent board.
So like it's going to be $250 for the kind of the standard board from Asus.
That's so much money for like a regular old motherboard like that is.
Yeah. And to give into, you know, we move up into Republic of Gamers boards. The lowest cost Republic of Gamers board is going to be the ROG Strix X570F Gaming, $300.
Nope.
Although
I feel like that's closer than that Prime X570 Pro. Like, yeah, that's like just, the, that's the $50 lot. Bucks, the $300 is kind of where you're kind of getting to with the Republica Gamer stuff, but like not for the Strix, I would say, obviously. But it is kind of getting closer to it. That $250 for like your average board, that's like, that is like high end desktop pricing.
Yeah. The standard, or not the standard, but like the go to ROG board, of course, is the Crosshair Hero. So the Crosshair 8 Hero will be $359.99, which is $100 more than it was the X470, yeah. The X470 version. If you want the Wi-Fi version, it's an extra $20, so $379. The Crosshair 8 formula will be $700.
The formula is all of your monies. So yeah. So grab the formula again, because you want the cheaper, best, right?
And then you're that's cheaper than some of their Rampage boards on Intel high-end desktop that come with an integrated cooling. They come with integrated monoblocks. This does not come with integrated monoblocks.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's gonna be, and you know, again, the processors will be cheap.
But will they?
Yeah, the pricing list is out for the processors.
Yeah, gonna, cheapish. Cheapish so at same, this point.
The
yeah.
same price as what they were last year.
Not that $39.50.
Well, that isn't, but you're not comparing that. But I mean, they're launching the Ryzen 7 3800X for the same price as the Ryzen 7 2700X launched at. Same price.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just so, it feels skewed now with the $750 mainstream part.
Yeah, that again, that but the processors will remain not, I got they, yeah, cheap. Like, they will remain the same price. They're not gonna, yeah. you know, be like Intel and be like, okay, next year we're bumping the price up.
You think?
They're not gonna do that at all.
You don't?
But
not even next, no, because not the, even next time?
I don't think. I think that that's like their selling point is like, we're not gonna
better performance raise the and price. Lower price?
Yeah. And it's a year later, it should be the same price. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
But so, the interesting thing is here is like the big features of X570 are PCI Express. Again, as I said, PCI Express 4.0 and that's basically in like a new motherboard design. You know what I mean? And things like that. So if you think about it, you can slot one of these new processors into an X470 board. So a lot of people and even the MSI CEO said that like they're going to continue to make X470 boards for the foreseeable future because people are going to want the cheaper board. And again, the only graphics cards that support PCI Express 4.0 are the new Navi cards. So you're not going to see a new graphics card from NVIDIA that supports that till 2020.
But the throughput is still there. Like it's still wider.
You're gonna get 3.0 speed. You're not gonna get 4.0 speed if you put a NVIDIA card in there.
But when you go to adding other cards in, you'll be better off still. If you're going to any other type of add-in card in addition to your GPU, you'll be better off.
Yeah, with like 4.0. You're like, yeah,
because
of course.
You have
like
with, because you have greater throughput.
Yeah, but if I'm speccing out a system and I could save $100, $200, $300.
Oh, I mean, the people that need that are like looking at that as like they're like purchasing the reason for purchase is solely based on the pricing. Like they're not the ones that are looking at needing PCI Express 4.0 anyways.
Yeah, and again, the new SSDs PCI Express. Are very expensive right now.
Yeah.
And I mean, again, it's 2,500 megabytes a second more you're getting. But in terms of like, you know, getting 3,500 compared to 5,000 is like, you know,
that's a big deal. yeah. I know what you mean, trying to downplay it, but like yeah. that is like, it is actually significant, but yeah. to be able to afford that luxury, it's like comparing a Mustang to a Ferrari. Like, they're both fast cars, but like, yeah, one of those is actually a really fast, really, really fast car.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But it's going to be an interesting thing, and it's really going to be interesting to see how long X470 boards stay in the marketplace. Really, you know,
it's kind of like RTX series, where the 10 series ended up being like that kept its value still to this day, basically. Because they basically make up the low end range. So
yeah. So it's gonna be really, really interesting. I think that's the most surprising thing. I mean, nobody kind of expected that.
No, not at all.
Yeah, you haven't really expected that, because we've had the same kind of like $20-$30 cheaper than Intel counterpart type thing. And I know these boards have more, but like those prices are kind of, at least for me, kind of absurd.
They do something in your mind for just saying that there's value there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I know what you mean.
Like,
yeah.
Pricing your product at a certain price point kind of describes what it's worth. Like, whether that's like actually justified or not, like just in general, when people are looking around at clicking on products, browsing around shopping, like, well, I see this one's like priced more. It must be worth more.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. Too. But I just didn't see this coming. Like, I really didn't. I did find it interesting, and like in the back of my head, like when all of these boards were at Computex, there was no pricing.
Yeah.
Except for like the $1,000 board. Maybe we see why it's $1,000 now, because X570 is going to be much more expensive.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, but yeah, so. That's going to make the 3000 series, like, everybody's super excited for 3000 series because you always knew the price was going to be right, but now like it's a little bit more expensive, so maybe it isn't like something you might, you know, maybe you do get the 9900K instead. It's just something I didn't expect, and I'm really like, I'm kind of blown away by these prices. Like that's expensive.
$250
for a board that's not like a high end brand as like an ROG or an Aorus that's kind of crazy to me.
Yeah, that's to the point. Like they could easily justify like a $20 or $30. You know, like we want to bring it up just a little bit. We want to match like the Intel board pricing or whatever. But like, so dude. $700? You have a board that's $700 for AMD? Are you serious?
That has no, like, it doesn't have an integrated monoblock, which would add like $100 to the price. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It doesn't have any of that stuff. And it's not like your highest end series either. It's not a Rampage board.
Yeah.
So yeah, how much is a Rampage board gonna cost? $1,600?
Right. If it ever,
like, yeah.
They won't be able to make one because like they've priced themselves out.
Yeah, so this is something we're definitely going to follow, and as we get closer to the launch of the 3000 series, which again is on 7/7, all the dates you need to know for AMD are 7/7. That's when the graphics cards come out as well. Mm. We'll keep you updated and see what this. I'm interested to see how the ecosystem reacts and how all these AMD fanboys react, because again, AMD was always cheaper. The whole ecosystem was cheaper.
Hate to say it, but yeah, the fanboys are made up of people that are kind of cheaper. Like,
and honestly, I think for the most part, I recommended Ryzen second gen to a lot of people, because a lot of people building a system, you know, like you have to buy a cooler for the Intel parts. So that's like an extra $40-$50.
Yeah.
And the Ryzen parts came with them, and they did give you like the multi-core performance was really good.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll see. It's very interesting. See, that's all I have to say.
This is kind of why I think we might see processor prices go up too. Back to the way you price things is the way like the value is kind of set. Like until they start to bring the prices up on the processors, they're always going to seem like, yeah, we know the performance is great, but something must be wrong because they're so cheap.
Yeah, I agree. You know what I mean?
Like,
I think some
something must
see
be
it
off
that way.
Here because they're so cheap. Like, yeah. So, like, I kind of, like, if they, I almost wonder if they're even surprised with how quickly they took and how high they soared with this, with being, like, essentially the market leader now in performance. Like, I wonder if they're surprised by it and they had expected more of a battle. And now that they're there, they're, like, trying to figure out the best way to deal. Because I think they thought they were going to be in a price battle and not and not like a performance, like, and like not just leading performance, like straight up. Like they probably figured that they would go back and forth.
I don't think anybody knew Intel was in as much trouble as they were with getting the 10 nanometer node. I just don't think.
I'm sure anybody. Yeah, I'm sure AMD assumed they would get it. Like anytime now, it's going to happen. They're gonna fire back.
I assume, like, most people assume that we would have 10 nanometer on Intel parts this fall. Like for desktop,
yeah,
we would have it this fall.
We probably had hopes a lot sooner than this fall.
Yeah, and we're probably not going to see it till next fall, which is a lot of time.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I just think that it's going to make things very interesting, and we'll definitely we'll be talking about this for a while. I think on upcoming podcasts. So
yeah.
So back to gaming news in E3. One of the biggest things been talked about when it comes to gaming is Google's Stadia. They officially announced pricing and what you'll need and everything like that. So Stadia, the Founders Edition, will basically give you everything that you need. So you get the limited edition controller and a Chromecast Ultra, plus a free copy of Destiny 2 and 3 months of Stadia Pro. So that gives you the whole package. Like, you're ready to game out of the box. You can, you know, play no problem. And then you have Stadia Pro, which is the service. So the Founders Edition comes with 3 months of the service. The service is $9.99 a month, kind of like Netflix. And that's going to allow for 4K gaming up to 60 FPS with HDR and 5.1 surround sound. The service itself will always require a Chromecast Ultra and the Stadia controller. So if you wanted to use the service, getting the Founders Edition makes sense, because both of the Chromecast Ultra and the Stadia controller are $70 each. So by getting the Founders Edition for $130, you're saving $10, plus you're getting 3 months of the service for free. So it kind of makes sense. And you're getting Destiny 2 for free. Now, one thing that wasn't made clear initially was that you're going to have to buy all these games. You're not paying for a service that gives you access to a library of games. You have to buy all the games on top of everything. So that's something you want to keep in mind when it comes to pricing. So, you know, this isn't something you're paying monthly and you get access to the games. Just like having a normal PC,
yep.
You have to buy all the games. And then you have Stadia Base, which is free. So it's free. It will allow for gaming up to 1080p at 60 FPS and stereo sound. But again, you'll need a Chromecast Ultra and the Stadia controller. So it just makes sense. Like, if this is something you were looking at, getting the Founders Edition just completely makes sense. But I do think that, just like every other company that's done this, is that Google has to be running into issues. How I still don't understand how I'm playing 4K 60 FPS on a normal connection. Like, I went to the website. If you go to the Google Stadia website, you can test your connection.
Yeah.
And like, I have like the most basic Comcast internet, and it said that it was fine for 4K.
Oh, I doubt it.
If anybody's going to do it, it's going to be Google. Google would be the person to do it. But like, NVIDIA, AMD, and like 20 other companies, PlayStation, Microsoft, they've all tried this. And yeah, bandwidth is always the issue.
Yeah, so I've got like a whole handful of issues with this service. And I have since I heard about it. A is exactly what you just brought up, is that all of these companies, big companies that know what they're doing, have tried it and it doesn't work. And we've seen it firsthand that it does. It just doesn't work. It doesn't play right. It doesn't feel right.
Especially when it comes to FPS. Especially.
It just doesn't work right. And then my second problem is I think the controller is super ugly. Like, I don't know. It's like between here and there, and it wound up being like ugly, I think. So that's that. Maybe it's super comfortable, but I doubt it. Google's products are all like really pretty well designed, but they always lack that like final bit of uniqueness and polish that makes them perfect. They're like so focused on being really good for everyone that they're good for no one, in my opinion.
That makes sense. It's like, for people who don't know, and you can go ahead and click through on the show notes, but it's like an Xbox 360 controller that's like more square,
melted a bit.
Yeah, it's like
it's got more bulk in the body than a It's kind of a PlayStation controller if you add more bulk to the body, the horizontal part.
It's like if you mix the PlayStation 4 controller and a and an Xbox 360 controller. If they had a baby, this is what it would look like.
Yeah, it's the disgusting child of those two. And then now, my final thing, real quick, is that the I've used Chromecast for years and they're great. I really like them, but they're still buggy though. Like,
I agree.
They do bug, like, and now you're going to use that as essentially as a console.
Yeah.
Like that's your whole contact point.
I like the idea of this.
The idea is amazing. The idea is the future.
Yes. Right? $10 a month to basically have the power of a full PC system that allows me to play games at 4K 60.
Dude, that's like what, a $3,000 PC?
Yeah.
So at $10 a month, that's $120 a year. How many, you do the math, how many years does it take to actually buy that PC? And by the time you pay for that PC, it's old.
Yeah, so I like this. I didn't say that also the Founders Edition gives you the Buddy Pass that gives 3 months to one of your friends so they can try it out.
That's,
but again,
cool.
They need the hardware as well. But yeah, I want to really see if this works. And, like, not in a closed Google environment. Like, I want to see, like, in Pittsburgh where I live, on my connection, I want to see if this works.
Because if it does, in the Google Fi City.
Yeah, that too. So, yeah, this is going to launch in... they also did announce that the games that will be available. There's 31 games in total from 21 different publishers. We have the whole list. Some notable games, Assassin's Creed Odyssey... Division 2's on there.
Destiny 2, obviously.
Yeah, Destiny 2's on there. Great. One thing that's interesting is Baldur's Gate 3 is on there, and that's not out yet. Oh, that was listed.
Funny. Wait. It's a big deal that Metro Exodus is on here, because isn't this the first time that they broke out of their exclusivity with...
What's interesting, so we didn't talk about it, but the... Metro Exodus is also listed on the Microsoft Store right now.
Oh, is it?
So I don't know what the deal is with it.
I thought they still had... I thought they had at least...
Yeah, I thought they had a little bit water. I thought they had... It was into 2009... it was into this year, but I don't know how long. I think it was only 6 months.
Maybe it did run out then, so they didn't break contract.
Yeah. This will be... we have a list of all the games, like I said. Doom Eternal's on there.
Tomb Raider games.
Tomb Raider, some good stuff. Farming Simulator 19.
Get it, Mark, get it.
NBA 2K, Borderlands 3 will be on there, which will be a big release, obviously.
Oh, did we say Assassin's Creed?
Yeah, Assassin's Creed's on there. So it will be available in why don't I have the date on this?
I don't know. I actually never saw it, so.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it's later this year. I don't believe it's right now. I could be wrong. But in any case, it's available on select.
Oh, sorry.
It's available in select countries, pretty much like the big ones. US, UK, Sweden, Spain, Norway, Netherlands, Italy, Ireland, Germany, France, Denmark, Canada, Finland, Belgium. And obviously, as time goes on, this will continue.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It'll expand. They're concerned about like your country's connectivity and such with that,
and like what data centers Google has in your country, if any.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, a big concerns with this too. A lot of you out there have data caps. I don't, thankfully, but something that is going at 4K. This is going to smash you into your data cap. So
yeah,
consider that.
Yeah, that as well. So, I like the idea for $130. I can play games at 4K without a PC on like any device that my Chromecast works on, I assume. But I just don't think we're there yet. I think we're at least 4 or 5 years out as far as speeds. I mean, but again, Google, prove me wrong. I'd love for you to prove me wrong.
Yeah.
So
I just think of the trouble you have streaming 4K Netflix.
Yeah.
Like it mostly works, but like you see that quality dip and stuff. And when the quality dips with Netflix, it's okay. You just keep watching and it looks better in a second.
And like even on my connection now, and again, I don't have a great connection, but again, Google's telling me that my connection's fine for this, for 4K. Like, even when I stream hockey games through, like, the NHL, like, official app, it kind of craps out sometimes.
Yes.
And, like, I basically buffer. Like, you know, yes. And even sometimes we're talking on Discord right now. Sometimes, like, we will have a bad connection.
Yeah. So the difference is that when you're streaming something, you just wait for it. When you're gaming and streaming it, you lose or you die or you lose your save or who knows what could happen to you.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, Google, prove us wrong. Like I said, this is something that obviously we're keeping and it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
Because it's like basically, well, you know, they're trying to replace the PC. So
yeah.
Talking about gaming, we want to let you know that one game is free on Steam. And it doesn't happen all that often when games are like just free. While this is only a 99-cent game, it's free, so why not pick it up? It's called Polygoner. And we have a link to the Steam page, so you can just go ahead and pick it up. It's free.
It's supposed to be really fun, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to be actually really fun. I added it to my library, but I haven't been playing it because I've been playing Apex.
Right.
Apex for life, bro. again, free game. Can't complain. So pick it up, add it to your, accounts. And, you know, one of those days you're like, oh, what should I play? You'll have a free game to play, so... So that ends things here for our news this week. Coming up next week, Corsair will be launching two new mice this week. I'm not going to tell you the date, but they will be launching two new mice. And we have both of them, and we'll have reviews for those two mice. And then I'll also be taking a look at a 1660 from Gigabyte. It's their gaming OC 6G. Of course, the 1660, you know, or the 1660 Ti, kind of like... The 1080p card, the 1660 specifically, is really made for kind of like 1080p esports titles. And this is on the Gigabyte line, not the Aorus line, but the Gigabyte line. This is the highest clock card in their series. So I'll be taking a look at that as well. And brings us to the end here. We talk about if we did anything cool, Sony movies did anything. Have you done anything tech related, Sony movies, anything you want to tell our audience about?
No gaming. I've been busy, mostly with photography stuff. But I did start reading. I read through the Mortal Engines series, the trilogy. It was a trilogy.
Oh, I hated that. That movie could have been so much better.
The movie was so garbage. The book was,
yeah.
Books ended up being okay. I had to finish them all, so I read them all, and I was so excited I was done, and then I found out there's actually a prequel trilogy to them, and I'm like, well, now I'm not done. And I started reading the first one. It's the Fever Crumb trilogy, and like, it's like building the whole world again right now, because it's so much earlier, the setting is, and it's actually like way better. It's like, it's pretty amazing, actually.
So many movies and so many things. It's like, you always want to see like, how did the world get like this? Or like, why is the world like this?
Yeah.
And that actually sounds interesting. I'm actually be interested in checking that out. So I'll have to,
yeah, it's pretty cool so far. Check that out. I'm not far. Maybe it gets trash, but so far it's good.
Yeah. For me, I've been working on reviews a lot. But I did pick up a new piece of tech. We talked about it on the podcast, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
A few weeks ago, I was looking to get an action cam, and the DJI Osmo Action just came out. I decided to pick it up. I just got it like 2 days ago. I haven't really played with it all that much, but it's just nice having like this little action cam. And I did say like their stabilization on it is pretty awesome. Like I can run down the stairs, and it's like it's on a gimbal. It's actually really impressive.
That's pretty wild.
It's like I said, I bought this for like, I don't want to get my, you know, my nice camera wet and ruined, type thing. And like, my girlfriend and I go to waterfalls a lot, and just getting some of those shots like under the waterfall or like jumping off the waterfall. Like I'm not going to do that with my, you know, obviously my big camera's not waterproof.
Yeah.
Another reason I got this, cause it does have a, like all GoPros, they don't have a screen on the front. This actually has a screen on the front. So just to frame your shot, it just makes it so much easier.
It's on the front of it, huh?
Yeah, it's on the, yeah. There's a one on the front and one on the back.
Oh, that's like game changing, actually.
Yeah, it's I think the next GoPro will probably have one, just because they kind of have to. But one thing that kind of swayed my decision, because I was going to get one or the other. Like, one, I was going to get the Hero 7 Black from GoPro or this. GoPro does have a better track record with action cams, but
that's just because
DJI has a DJI has a really good they have a really good record with like updating firmware all of the time. I have so many people talked about, you know, the Osmo Pocket that came out, and that when it first came out, it was kind of limited, but with firmware updates, they were able to add so much more.
Yeah, and that's a solid product.
Yeah.
That's like your closest product, so.
Yeah, so that was the thing, obviously the front screen, and then so many people said that, like, this isn't, like, if you have a Hero 7 Black, this wouldn't be the camera to get, like, as an upgrade, because it's very similar, but if you didn't have an action cam, a lot of people said they'd go with the DJI. So that's kind of what swayed my decision. So I could, like, once I really get into messing with it, you know, but it shoots 4K 60, completely stabilized. It shoots raw photos. It's full. You can do, like, you can fully adjust all your stuff, like all your shutter speeds and everything like that. You know, you can do a lot of cool stuff with it. So
nice.
So yeah, just it's just different piece of tech, not a computer thing. So
yeah, still fun.
That's kind of. Yeah, besides that, just been playing Apex. There's a lot of challenges going on right now that they just launched, getting ready for season 2. So we'll probably be playing that on Twitch this week a lot. So you will have a link for our Twitch on the in the show notes as well if you want to check us out, or just like subscribe, or I guess that's subscribing on Twitch. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Or following. I think maybe it's called following. I forget. But either or, so you get a notification whenever we go online and we play some games. But
I mean, it's all subscribing, guys. Right?
Yeah, I mean, basically,
regardless of what they call it. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll go ahead and end things here. If you're listening to this during the day, hopefully you get outside because it's been beautiful where we are. But until next week, catch you guys later.